As you well know, for the last 4 weeks, we have been studying the miracles performed by Christ Jesus. And we have seen that these 26 miracles recorded there in Matthew, when read in their context, are a great help in understanding the Gospel of Matthew and God's purpose and plan for the ages. I think we have found them to be illuminating with regard to the powers of the age to come, of which Tim just read. And it is showing shadows of the unfolding purpose of God also from the past. All of the miracles, as well as the parables that we spent a lot of time studying some time back, have a definite dispensational character to their nature. But the two that I want to revisit this morning have a very prominent message in that way. We have briefly considered these along the way, and today we will look at them in greater detail. The first of the two took place near the end of the Lord's ministry, where he was referred to as the Son of David, and soon thereafter he began to speak of his approaching death. The second was near the close of his ministry as the son of Abraham, and soon after there he was led away to be crucified. So let me ask you this. How does the book of Matthew start? Does anybody remember? Turn to the book of Matthew and look there at Matthew Chapter 1. It reads, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." What's going on there? Well, in our past studies, you will remember that the book of Matthew begins with these two titles for a reason. In the study of Matthew, it's important to distinguish the difference between the son of David, that establishes Christ's genealogy as the rightful person to the throne of the nation of Israel. And the other title, the son of Abraham, is a wider view than just Israel and the kingdom, and it is meant there to include other people, other sheep, and other nations. This twofold character of this Gospel of Matthew must be kept in mind if our understanding is to be clear. For review, I suggest going back on your own, maybe to listen to the first lesson that we did on the parables, not the miracles, but the parables of Matthew. So to begin with, let's take a look again at that first of these two miracles found there in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Beginning with verse 21 in that 15th chapter. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he, that being Christ, answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. I think probably also I could add there. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meant to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, if you jump over, and you don't need to do this, but you can mark it down maybe. If you look in Mark chapter 7, verse 26, there it tells us that this woman was a Gentile of Canaan, a Syrophoenician she was, and a dog is a term of degradation that is like a rat or a snake or maybe a hillbilly today in that time. But she had approached the Lord, calling him by his title, Son of David. It was he who came to be king of Jews. This was exclusively sovereignty to the Jewish kingdom, this title, Son of David, and had no place outside the nation of Israel. But here was the Savior, as we have seen, full of compassion with so many miracles that he had done at this point. Out of love and compassion for people, he had done these miracles, but here, not a word. Silence. Verse 23, I think it says, but he answered her not a word. Why? Verse 24, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after. They were just as bad, if it's bad. I am not sent but to Israel. Wow. Isn't that kind of, don't you think of that as kind of being hardness at this point? After all he's done? And the same thing for the disciples who had started to take on these same powers. Now, these words, send her away. To one weak of faith and without some understanding would have been a death knell of hope. But the woman quickly saw that as the son of David, he could do nothing for her. She was a Gentile, according to what we read there in Mark. She therefore dropped the title and approached him as Lord. Here then we see the request under the umbrella of son of Abraham, that we read in the first verse of Matthew. The Lord promised Abraham that through him would be a great nation. Therefore, from Isaac to David, but also that all of the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We've read this before, but it doesn't hurt to read it again. Genesis chapter 12. Beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So that's still carrying through there in the book of Matthew in verse 1, son of David, son of Abraham. Lord, help me. In verse 25, the woman said, this draws a personal answer from the Lord. But verse 26, it seems foreboding as the forerunner, because it is not, he says at that point, Christ says, it's not fair to take the children's bread and cast it and he uses the word canaria. K-U-N-A-R-I-A, canaria. Israel were the children that's being spoken of here. And he's saying it's not right to take bread from the children and throw it to the dogs, the canaria. Surely you could not do this. But the woman was pretty sharp, I think. She was quick on her feet, if you ask me. She quickly seized upon the word he used for dogs. And she uses the same word, canary. Dog is a term of reproach in the Middle East. It is a symbol of being deprived, forsaken, cast out. Dogs are without in the Middle East. But the Lord in his reply said, canary, therefore, what is that? It's not technically dogs, it's puppies, little dogs. She grabbed on that. She said, little dogs or puppies. The rule regarding dogs has an exception in the case of puppies, and that's even the case today in the Middle East. The puppies are allowed in the house for a short period of time. Verse 27, truth, Lord, she says, yet the puppies eat at the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She knew that the exclusiveness of the Lord's ministry to Israel was not for a mean or narrow reason, but that through a saved Israel would come to all families of the earth the blessing of Abraham. And here he was, the son of Abraham, as a Gentile to her, as we read back in Genesis, the whole world, all families of the world were to be blessed through him as the son of Abraham. Here in this, we see the twofold aspect of God's plan. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 8 and 9 of Romans. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That circumcision was for Israel, not for Gentiles. For the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, Abraham. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Verse 8 is an exclusive ministry to Israel with reference to promises made in the past. Verse 9, this follows the design sequence seen all through the scriptures of how this nation of Israel was prominent for a purpose, chosen not because they're better, but for a purpose, as is the church of the one body chosen not because they're better, but for a purpose. So it is with the woman that sought the crumbs. She gave Israel their rightful place. They were the masters. She was but a little puppy. She could only expect the crumbs. But as soon as this was recognized, blessing came from the son of Abraham. How vital to this woman's case was what? Correct understanding. Today, many are perplexed because the Lord answers not a word of their requests. It's because they ask amiss. Remember, and we had a lesson on prayer, I think more than once, but I had a list of the prayers that are directed towards the church of the one body, if you remember that, and I just happened to realize that I have it right here on the back of my note. If you look at those prayers, what does Paul teach the church of the one body with regard to prayer and a correct understanding of prayer? You can't take that understanding of prayer as it applied to those disciples that had this tremendous power in the nation. Those that believed even had this, some of these same powers. If you go back and read, and I have that list, by the way, if somebody wants a copy of that. But you read the prayers that Paul teaches to the one body. Things like that your eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Pray that you may know the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saint, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Pray that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend and know the love of Christ, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. And on and on and on. Not that you be filled with the power to heal or to speak tongues. That was all a part of the blessing of the son of David, not Abraham. So, her correct understanding brought her blessing. So this miracle clearly shows us what was the relationship between Israel and the nations at the time, and that we must distinguish our own relationship as the church of the one body today because it is different. The second example changes, takes on a different approach. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And here we'll look at the second miracle we take a little closer look at. Beginning with verse 19 of that 21st chapter. And when he, this is Jesus, he hadn't been crucified yet. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? It must have fallen over right then. It's quick, whatever. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. All things. It included the things that were being done by Christ at that time, and they came to have that same power. But the things that they were asking were not this type of thing. They were those marvelous things, strange things that we looked at that go into another realm, that were promised to the sons of David, not the sons of Abraham. Now, we've looked at this in the past. In Scripture, the fig tree, the vine, and the olive tree represent Israel in various capacities. And here the tree has no fruit, it has leaves only. Now, this particular miracle is, if you'll remember, after Christ had gone into Jerusalem one time, but now after all of these things that he had done, healed thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, this is his second attempt, his second entrance into the Jerusalem. By this time, the crowd had spread their garments in the road. He had cut palm branches from the trees and scattered them for him to walk on. And they shouted, Hosanna! And they even used to the Son of David. But it was leaves only. No fruit. Representative of this tree that Christ was passing by on the way into Jerusalem. Leaves only in that Hosanna. And within a few days, this same crowd, given a chance, would cry, what? Away with him. Crucify him. The Hosannas were hollow words of wish only and self-gratification of that which he had been doing. Turn there in Matthew to chapter 13, verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the world, by and by he is offended. This is the situation that existed there. Israel was bringing forth no fruit. The gospel that had been presented by John, by Christ himself, the sowings, the four sowings of the gospel that we've looked at before, by John, by Christ, by the 12 disciples, through the book of Romans, brings no fruit until a future sowing that is on good ground, and that is yet to come. So here then, in this miracle, it's the only miracle of judgment. And it is deeply suggestive to note that the only miracle of judgment was upon a tree. Symbolically, that tree of Israel. The lesson is, he then here is not to judge you, but to love you and give himself for you. Never did he work such a thing on a human being. This judgment was against Israel, and Israel only. Back up in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That axe and the tree is representative of Israel. Turn over to Luke. Chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Verse 9. And now also, we hear from Luke, now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Conclusion, thus, these two miracles taken together speak of the blessing going out to us, the Gentiles, and the cutting off of Israel for a time being, until they come and bring fruit. And that will come when Christ returns and they accept him as Son of David. In the meantime, we're operating under, of course, the Son of Abraham. That is one day to change. Tim read about it after that kind of takes place. And we won't go there, but you can go back to Isaiah chapter 27, and it says, Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with what? Fruit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these miracles that we can study and learn, where we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. Pray that you would continue to allow that for each of us, and that we may be, as a result, rooted and grounded in your love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.